Orlando and Sandy is brought to you on demand thanks to SCL Mortgage, the home of MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's Orlando and Sandy, presented by SCL Mortgage. Here's the great Sandy Clough and former Denver Bronco Orlando Franklin.
Yes, on a 16th day of January 2020, Sandy Clough and Orlando Franklin, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Now, this outfit is very, very attractive, Orlando. I like it. Maybe you can describe it for us. You've got
everything.
You've got the NFL, you've got the American flag, it's brand new, isn't it? It looks brand new.
Yeah,
looks like it has not been worn.
It's the military hoodies that the Broncos were wearing on the sidelines this year. I finally got a chance to get to Dove Valley yesterday
in
my care package. I got my care package to go to Italy and Spain at the end of the month. You know, those guys, you know, shout out to the equipment staff. Those guys are awesome.
Oh, they're the best.
I mean, and they've been taking care of me for years, and they continue to still take care of me. And I try to take care of them, too. You know, try to get them a nice little gift card to where they could go to a dinner or something. But it's always nice to go see Flip, Harry, Jason, Kenny, and all those guys and the equipment staff for the Broncos, because those guys, the sense of humor on them is just great. But those guys, like, really know me, Sandy, you know, as a rookie and the mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
And they hear about the fines. And we're talking yesterday, and we used to always have the fine board when we were there. And these guys know the name of fines just like the offensive linemen because they've been there for so long. And I was asking them, I said, hey, you know what? Do you guys still fine? Is there still a fine system in place? And they're like, nah, it's kind of everything's kind of changed. He'll walk by guys and he's saying, hey, that's a press conference fine. And guys are like, what? Huh? They don't understand what these fines are. So the locker room's changed since in the last couple of years. And the locker room has
gone soft
completely.
Just come right in.
From 2014 to 2015, with just that 1 year. I remember when I hung out with these guys on the O-line Vegas trip, it was completely different from what we had the years before. But yeah, they love the media. I should have adopted that philosophy of how these guys approach it when I played, because I would have been really ready. I would have never started off just filling in. Maybe I would have got a show right away because I would have been ready to go. Because when I played, I only did our show, Sandy. That was it.
Right.
Hey, every Tuesday, okay. But after games, no. After practice, no.
Yeah, that's right.
No,
you didn't talk, did you?
You got guys walking off the field now. They're holding their own press conference. When I played, that was a $500 fine to the Vegas fund when I played.
Well, you got fined for doing the show. You've told that story before. You got fined for doing your 10 minutes with me or...
Yeah, it was 20. It was,
with us.
It was a nice 20, yeah. It was a nice 20.
20.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Because I remember I had to pay $20 out of my pocket every week because that's how much the fine was. So I remember the fine amount was the same amount of minutes that I was on. So you guys, I think I was making like $130 a week for the show. And in the room, I would get fined $150.
So, you're losing
20 minutes, an extra $20 out of my pocket.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. That's how we came to know each other. And it's been until recently, I guess, a long-standing tradition that Bronco offensive linemen did not speak. You were out and about last night. The Nuggets win at home against Charlotte, kind of a nondescript game. Jamal Murray leaves the game with an ankle injury. Fortunately, x-rays negative. He's already got a bad back. Harris is out with a groin injury. That's Gary Harris. And, of course, Paul Millsap missed yet another game. But the Nuggets had six in double figures. Charlotte isn't a very good team. But the story last night was Porter. Again, off the bench, 19 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, a block. And the undrafted rookie, P.J. Dozier, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 12 assists in 13 minutes. Very impressive. Very impressive.
Absolutely.
Good chance for those guys to play against a team that's not that good. And, you know, the Nuggets can hold them under 90 anytime they want.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Absolutely. And when Jamal Murray gets hurt, it's nice to see guys are able to weather the storm. and just take care of their business. Nobody gets into a panic or anything like that. And when Jamal Murray went down yesterday, that's what I was thinking. I was like, here we go. They're going to let him creep back in.
They sort of did get back into it.
At the end of the day, they're able to come home with a win. Got to go to your spot yesterday, yeah. man. Got to go to Big Bill's, the pizza place. And
Bill's was great.
Awesome. I mean, literally, I don't know how I haven't heard of that place, how I've never been to that place. I know we were talking about it early in the season.
Yeah, we got to do I'll set this up. We'll do a show from there.
So. Yeah. It was good. I name dropped, Sandy.
I used your name. This is the first time in my life that an athlete has used my name.
Yeah.
To obtain,
cheesy garlic bread.
Yeah, right. Very cheesy.
Yeah. So
very cheesy.
I told him, I was like, hey, my name's Orlando. My co-host is Sandy Club. I remember.
And the door's open.
I started talking about the whole charity thing and telling him that we were talking about it. And all of a sudden he said, hey, it's great to meet you. And I went back and sat at the table. And then all of a sudden, about 10 minutes later, there was cheesy garlic bread that came and courtesy of Big Bill. Well, thanks, Sandy. Using your name got me some garlic bread. I appreciate that.
Anytime. I'm very flattered, actually. That I wasn't even physically present, and you got the discount using my name. Hey, real quick, before we bring in the good doctors in studio with us, Dr. Rick Puria, he'll be joining us in just a moment. Did you see the story? Odell Beckham Jr. is at the national championship game the other night. And after the game, he's throwing money around, and people assume it to be counterfeit. Turns out to be real money, and Joe Burrow, who is no longer in danger of being penalized or sanctioned, comes out yesterday and says, I'm not a student athlete anymore, so I can say, yes, the money was real. So he goes on Barstool Sports, pardon my take, and exposes the whole thing, and it leaves LSU in an interesting position. Here's the statement. The university's athletic department issued a statement Wednesday saying it was aware of video showing apparent cash, a phrase I've never heard before, apparent cash being given to players by Beckham, and that it has been in contact with the NCAA and the SEC regarding the matter.
No. Here's my thing.
Did that ever happen to you after?
No comment.
You won one of the many bowl games you won at Miami?
No comment.
Were throwing money around at you after the game?
No comment.
All right.
I thought Odell made it about himself in that situation. I thought he could have waited till he got in the locker room if that's what he was going to do. And for all the people that are thinking that it was counterfeit money, come on, let's be honest. What do you mean you're thinking it was counterfeit? Obviously, it's real. There was... I don't know why that was even a question, but if you want to do that, I mean, there's guys that come back to their programs and they help out some players that are financially not well off. And if there's different things that they could do, they do it. you got to understand, in college, Sandy, guys don't get a ton of money at all. Like, I remember when I was at the University of Miami. When I got there, my freshman year, they told my mom that, hey, we're going to pay for a scholarship. He's going to live in the dorms. We're going to give him $150 a month. My mom looked at me right when they said that and said, do not call me about your phone bill. You can pay your own phone bill. They just told me they're giving you $150 a month. But also, what she didn't let them finish was that was also for two meals a week as well. So now I would force myself to cook, and I would freeze like a big pan of lasagna for now for the 2 weeks. Good I could have that every for 2 days during the week. I just unfreeze it and make that because money was tight. I just felt like he could have did that in a different manner if that's what he chose to do. But yeah, I've seen it happen. I as far as me, you know, I've never did that. You know, I've never received anything like that.
I've never heard of anything quite like this, but cash is apparently, this is shocking, an example of impermissible benefits that are prohibited by the NCAA, and it's a violation of NCAA bylaws. Impermissible benefits. Yeah, instead of just throwing cash around at them after they win the national championship. All right, the good doctor will explain all of that and more coming next on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Orlando and Sandy.
We try at least once a month to bring on Dr. Rick Perea, Think One, the behavior design specialist. Dr. Perea, the organization and performance psychologist for the Stars, and we greet you on this first appearance of 2020.
Thank you.
This
great to be here.
This is two decades we've been on together, or at least parts of two decades.
Absolutely right.
Actually, this is decade number two, and we welcome you. First of all, we were talking about this LSU deal after the game the other night. You've been around the Cleveland Browns a little bit.
Yep.
And you kind of know about the situation there with Odell Beckham and
yes,
coaches getting fired and new coaches being hired. And then we've got the idea of Odell Beckham's future in Cleveland and now this incident. Help us explain Odell Beckham, who's obviously a great talent.
Yeah. Well, you know, often, Sandy, really talented athletes, it's not just from the neck down. It's from the neck up. Odell is very talented from the neck up, too. He's very creative and innovative in the way he thinks. And as such, he's a very abstract thinker, if you will. You know, when he came to Cleveland with Jarvis Landry, and they both played together in LSU, and I know Jarvis real well because we had him in Miami, but I thought that would be a really good stabilizing force for Odell, because Jarvis is a hard worker. He puts, you know, he grinds, really believes in the mental game, taught him a lot of what he knows. And then, but, you know, the other thing is I knew that that was going to be a challenge, because you basically have three alphas on one offense, in Odell and Jarvis and Baker Mayfield.
Right.
So when it didn't go as planned, as people advertised they were going to have this prolific offense, I wasn't that surprised, because I knew that we had to do a good job of regulating those guys to make sure they, you know, they took turns, if you will, between him and Jarvis. And I think Odell is fine. You know, the thing I was looking for when I first saw Odell, I'm looking for Jarvis. Like, where's Jarvis at? Because if Jarvis is there, Odell's okay. But if Jarvis isn't there, he tends to get out of his lane a little bit. But I suspect he's going to stay. I think he's somewhat pleased with the direction they're going now. So I'm excited for the future for Cleveland. There's a lot of talent there. But as you know, Sandy, in Orlando, it's not only about talent. It's about team chemistry, playing together, that task and social cohesion we often talk about.
Dr. Rick, I want to ask you about the Broncos situation, and now you see them bringing in Pat Shurmur.
Right.
What does that say to guys like a Philip Lindsay, that's a young player, a core player on this team, but now you're going into your third year, and now you're going on your third offensive coordinator?
Right, right. You know, I just mentioned task and social cohesion. That's the things we look at in when we work with teams. Task cohesion means everybody does their job, and social cohesion is everybody who loves to be around each other. They're attracted to each other. They want to play with each other. That just doesn't go for players. It's for coaches, too. Coaches to players, players to coaches. And, you know, when you are a third-year player and you're going on your third OC, that's inconsistency. There's no chance to build that social cohesion. And really what we look at, the great teams in the world, the teams that win world championships like ours in 15-16, are the teams that have that social cohesion. They get along, they're attracted to each other, they want to be around each other. And it's hard to build that when you have, you know, either your position coach or your coordinator or even your head coach. You know, I know of a few college teams that are on their fifth coach in 5 years. So you can't build that task and social cohesion when you have that kind of inconsistency and turnover when it comes to coaches as well.
You do know Pat Shurmur.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
And you worked with the Giants,
yep,
at least some of their individual players,
right,
this year. he's a little bit of a mystery because we hear different things about him. We hear he's bold. We hear he's a little conservative. We hear he's adaptable. We read that the Giants didn't do much in the second half, so he didn't make halftime adjustments. You've been around him.
Yeah.
Describe Pat Shurmur, and even if you can contrast him, what the Broncos are likely to get from Pat Shurmur as offensive coordinator that they didn't get from Rich Scangarello.
Well, I think the main thing they'll get is cohesion among their staff. That's the main thing that I think, you know, Vic is looking for, is that cohesion in the staff. And I think that's something towards the end of the season that became apparent that it wasn't, there wasn't cohesion there. And so, you know, as a head coach, you always want your assistants, your coordinators to get along. Again, social cohesion, we want to build that among coaches as well. In fact, I worked with three coaches yesterday in my office, and it was only on building cohesion. So cohesion is really important among coaches. I think what you'll get is you'll get a little bit more creativity and innovativeness out of Shurmur. I think that's really what they're looking for. When you look at Drew Lock, you look at a quarterback. You know, I talked to you last week, Sandy, about a quarterback that I know real well that's in the playoffs, Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, Tannehill is a guy that if tutelage, under the tutelage of the right coach, like Adam Gase had him in 16, he can really perform. So I think what they're looking for is a little more creativeness and innovativeness in bringing Pat in here to open up the offense, to let a guy like Drew Lock turn it loose and let it go.
I want to get back to what you were just saying as far as the Ryan Tannehill thing, because we know that you worked very closely with him when you were working with the Dolphins. What have you seen during this run of his? I mean, this guy's getting ready to play in the championship weekend this week. And last year, people were trying to rush him out of the league and call him a bust.
Exactly. You know, that's a really good question. You know, the first thing I noticed when I got to Miami is I started talking to receivers, running backs, and everybody would tell me, you know, RT is so quiet. You know, Ryan Tannehill's RT is so quiet. You know, he needs to be more of a verbal and vocal leader. So I called him in my office and I said, hey, man, talk to me about, you know, who are you? Where you been? And I didn't even realize he played receiver at Texas A&M. You know, he's a very versatile athlete, and he can run. He ran a 4.55 at the combine. So he's athletic. He can run. And I said, you know, why is everybody telling me you're so quiet? And he says, you know, that's just kind of my role. That's kind of my personality. And I says, I need you to change that. I need you to be more of a verbal and vocal leader with this team. I said, Gase is that kind of guy. He wants you to be that kind of leader. We need you to step up. And I've said that to many quarterbacks, Orlando, and sometimes they respond. Sometimes they're just like, no, this is just who I am. He adhered, not only responded, but he went above and beyond. It's like he flipped his personality. Kenny Steele, the receiver that was there, came to me and he says, who is this dude? Like, we've never seen him before. So, you know, Ryan is a guy that will do whatever you ask him to do. He's a great human being. He's very, very intelligent, extremely intelligent. So he made the changes that we requested. And so I knew when he went to Tennessee, I'm not going to pretend to say I knew he was going to take over the starting job.
Right.
But I knew he would help that team in some way. So I'm not at all surprised.
Well, we'll come back and follow up on that because there's an interesting Ryan Tannehill story that may or may not be applicable to Drew Lock. We'll continue with Dr. Perea next on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's Orlando and Sandy on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You guys both know people that you had no idea were mutual friends, acquaintances, whatever. Sandy Clough, Orlando Franklin, Dr. Rick Perea in studio. And I remember you telling me the story, the first year with Tannehill.
Yes.
And Gase, the Dolphins are 1-4. Everybody's writing him off. And he gets up in a locker room and basically says, I'm behind this guy. We need to be behind this guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was, you know.
And they win 9 of the next 12 games or whatever it was.
Yeah, you know, that was the turning point. You know, everybody was treating Ryan Tannehill like the old Ryan Tannehill. And he was starting to lead verbally, vocally. He was getting in front of everybody. He was getting everybody fired up. And like you said, we were you're better.
1-4. And then won 9 out of 11.
And then we won 9 out of 11. But here's what happened. Gase got up in front of the whole team and says, this is our guy.
Yeah.
This is our guy. So let, you know, hook your trailer to him. Let's go. And, you know, Tannehill from that moment just, you know, put out his chest and puffed himself up and he started leading verbally and vocally. But he's so smart. What people don't think about, he's so perceptive. He's so analytical and he's so level headed. I have never seen Ryan Tannehill mad on the sidelines. I've never seen him mad in a meeting. I've never even seen him frustrated. We have a saying that says thoughts are not facts. I mean, Sandy, the average human being has 45,000 thoughts a day. And up to 75% of them, Orlando, are self-doubt or negative thoughts.
Yeah.
So now you're talking about 33,000 thoughts a day that are self-doubt or negative. And if we don't have a tool to regulate them, you know, then we're going to be battling all those thoughts. So we talk about mindfulness with quarterbacks and we tell them thoughts are not facts. And here's the big one. Accept uncomfortable thoughts. Accept uncomfortable thoughts. When you fight an uncomfortable thought, that's frustration or anger. Those quarterbacks aren't successful. One of the major reasons Ryan Tannehill is not surprising me and surprising so many, apparently, is because he accepts uncomfortable thoughts. He accepts uncomfortable calls. You know how many quarterbacks here in their earpiece, they don't like the call? So even the way they deliver it in the huddle, the players know. Ryan Tannehill accepts those uncomfortable thoughts, moves on to the next play, and has that consistency in his personality that really permeates his whole team. So I know that, you know, that's what they're seeing him is that consistency. He's not up and down. He's a wee guy, not a me guy. And I'll tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me one bit, Orlando, if he's playing for the big one.
Wow. Well. Hope so. I mean, I'm going for San Francisco, so I would love
to see
Kansas City. But I want to ask you about Carson Wentz. I know that you haven't worked with him, but I want to get into the psychological side of it because this is a guy that's been hurt the last 3 years.
Right.
You know, and then he gets finally plays 16 games this season, and then you get to the playoffs, and he's not even able to play that full game out. Psychologically, does he need to approach this season? Is this something that guys can get over with? Because I've been hurt before and I've gone in the tank, but that was just a 1 year.
Yeah.
It's a one-off. We're looking at 3 years with this guy now.
Right. Here's one thing I want the listeners to consider. You know, when the body gets hurt, we call it somatic. When the body gets hurt, we experience somatic anxiety, okay? And the body will release cortisol, which is stress hormone. And if the viewers can visualize a cell that's circular, there's 10% of that outside cell that is made of protein. Cortisol works away and eats away at the protein around our cells. So guys that get hurt a lot oftentimes are under a lot of perceived stress, so they're releasing more cortisol than the average person.
A lot of bad thoughts.
Right, exactly. So they get one injury and then they don't accept that uncomfortable thought, for example, and so they're thinking negatively, again, one of those 33,000 a day, then that cortisol is released in abundance from the pituitary gland and it eats away at the cells, and so people are more prone to get hurt over and over again. The one thing with Ryan Tannehill, he got hurt 2 years in a row with us in Miami.
Right.
And everybody kind of gave up on him.
That's exactly right.
And I even told one of our trainers, I said, but he's not a negative guy. He's going to come out of this. And Tennessee believed in him, and you see the benefits.
Right. I want to apply this, if we can, to Drew Lock. Because when you describe Ryan Tannehill, there's never a negative moment. You don't see him going off on the sideline, expressing frustration or anything like that. And I do think of Locke a little bit. And we had a question that we didn't get to the last time you were on, but a texter sent it in and resent it today. What is your read on how Vic Fangio sees Drew Locke now? And does it tell us anything that Drew Locke's offensive coordinator gets fired and yesterday's quarterback's coach gets fired? T.C. McCartney gets fired along with Rich Gangarella.
Yeah, I think it tells us a lot. I think it tells us that Vic sees a guy that he can hook his trailer to, that this guy can be the guy for the future. Now, I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, all-pro type of guy, but he's...
You're not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but my question is, could he be Ryan Tannehill?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think he's even, in a way, from the waist up, more athletic than RT. RT is maybe more athletic from the waist down. But I see Drew... You know, what I love about Drew Locke is he's fluid. He's fluid in the pocket. He's calm. I told you guys last time he's on that parasympathetic side of the autonomic nervous system, which is the calm side. He's very calm at the line of scrimmage. His cadence is very is very synchronized. It's very calm. So when he drops back, he has very fluid hips, Sandy, and he's very, you know, he's a coachable guy. You can see that from him. So I think, you know, the Broncos are kind of tempering their excitement publicly.
Oh,
but,
no doubt.
But you can see through some of the changes they're making offensively in terms of coaching staff, what they what kind of belief system they have. And I'm not, again, I'm not saying he's a surefire all-pro guy, but he's a guy that I think you can build an offense around going forward.
Yeah. Dr. Rick, I want to ask you about Carmelo Anthony. I don't know if you've worked with him or anything, but I know you've been here in the Denver area forever.
Right. I haven't worked with him, but I know him.
Okay, so... I mean, how's a guy able now to sit out as long as he has out of the NBA and basically being blackballed by teams and nobody's picking him up, able now to come on to the Trailblazers and having the nights that he's having? Every night it seems like he's scoring at least 20 points.
Right.
You know, and he's going out there and he's performing really well, but this guy wasn't even in training camp this year.
Right. And he's smiling. I watched him last night. They won in Houston, and he's smiling all the time. And I mean, they have outgoing personalities on that team. He seems to be leading in a way that I never remember him leading here. When they got Chauncey was the unquestioned leader. It sure wasn't Carmelo.
Right.
Carmelo might have been the best player, but Chauncey was the leader.
Right.
Carmelo isn't the best player in Portland, but he is producing, as Orlando indicates, and he seems to be leading there.
Well, you know, Sandy, you touched on something, and I think we've been around each other long enough now, you're becoming a quasi-psychologist. You looked at his smile. Nonverbal communication is more reliable than verbal. And so if Carmelo's smiling, he's happy. Again, let's go back to brain chemistry. He's releasing, you know, oxytocin, which we call the love drug. It bonds us to people. And if he's feeling good, and I have two clients on the Portland staff, so I know what's going on over there. If he feels good, and he does, and he's happy, he's around people, his body feels better. He has no muscle tension. He's on that parasympathetic side. He's flowing. He's free. But he's a scorer, Orlando. He's a scorer. That's what he's always been.
Yeah.
You know, he can score. That's different than scoring points or being a distributor. He is a scorer, and a scorer is always going to be a scorer. What I love about him now is he seems to be enjoying the game. His teammates report that he's enjoying the game and that he's fun to be around.
Right.
And I think sometimes we got to reach the bottom before we come back up. And I think him being out of the league for a minute, you know, really caused him to introspect, look at himself and say, wait a minute, I missed this. You know, this is my game. Yeah. So he's back and he's in abundance.
And he trained, but psychologically, he may have trained himself too to take on a different sort of persona.
Yeah.
And he's in a good situation. And now he keeps going back, like Oklahoma City, Houston, the Knicks. You know, he's got about a tenth of the teams in the league who are former teams. He goes back to those places. He's very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
Comfortable. You know, he was in Houston last.
Right. You know, Sandy, I was working with a high school basketball player the other day in my office, and I was teaching him a script, and the script was, I love my life. I love my family. I love what it feels like to be a great basketball player. Today will be an amazing day. And when you say that script over and over, you begin to train the brain, and the brain will believe what you tell it. And I know for a fact that my guys up there are using that script, so maybe Carmelo's got himself into that script, and that's why he's walking around smiling.
Yeah, there you go. All right, awesome. We'll come back. We'll talk about the playoff games this week and how Rick views these four teams from his own unique perspective. That's next.
Now back to Orlando and Sandy on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Now, you're talking during the break. You know, some of our people in sports, and we like it, and I think all three of us feel the same way about this man. I thought for all the deserved credit that Peyton Manning got for taking the Broncos to a completely different level, first in 2012, and then two of the next 3 years, the Broncos are in the Super Bowl. But boy, that championship season in 2015, there wasn't a player on the team who was more important on the field and off the field than DeMarcus Ware. All three of us have great respect for him.
Oh, my gosh, Sandy. You know, DeMarcus Ware represents a true professional in my eyes. You know, DeMarcus and I had many conversations behind the scene. He changed in his 11th year some of the things he did about leadership and verbal and vocal leadership. He wasn't just a mentor to Vaughn. He was a mentor to that whole defense. And, you know, I have the ultimate respect for DeMarcus, a guy that you know, grew up in Auburn, Alabama, didn't get recruited by Auburn or Alabama, went to Troy, and, you know, the rest is history. But a true pro in every way, and actually he's helping me contribute in my new book. So he's a brother forever.
Yeah. Doc, I want to ask you about the situation in New England right now. You see Tom Brady, you know, it looks like they're going to have some tight cap space. We don't know if he's going to re-sign with the Patriots. What if he doesn't re-sign with the Patriots or ends up with a different team or ends up being forced to retire because he doesn't want to play somewhere else? What does that say about that organization? What do you think is going through Tom Brady's head?
You know, I think Tom wants to play another year or two, and I think if they can't find a way to fit him in, he'll end up somewhere else.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think the great benefit of that is the NFL in general, because I think if he goes somewhere else, he'll prove that maybe he wasn't a system quarterback, that he was a player. Now, he's in his, 21st year he would be in next year. So I'm not saying he's going to go in somewhere and light it up, but he can definitely help some young QBs develop and actually coaching staff. You know, I've seen him calm some coaching staffs down.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of that, I've seen Ryan Tannehill calm Adam Gase down.
Yeah,
so sometimes these older, more mature quarterbacks have a great influence on the team they're going to through their leadership skills when they get long in the tooth like Tom is.
You know, we were talking yesterday about the four coaches left in the playoffs and how Andy Reid has won 207 games. The other three combined have won 54. Andy Reid's won 13 playoff games. The rest combined, Vrabel, LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, have four playoff wins. Is this any kind of edge, not so much for Reid, but for the Chiefs? They've got an old warrior who's experienced both success and failure. He's basically a 500 coach in the playoffs. He has gone to a Super Bowl. He has not won one yet, so he's hungry. Is that a good fit, or do you see magic with Vrabel in Tennessee? And in the NFC, you've got a team that has been built very carefully and craftily in the 49ers, and you have the Aaron Rodgers story where he hasn't been to a Super Bowl since 2010,
right,
and he's trying to get back there 9 years later.
Well, here's the beautiful thing about your question, Sandy, is I can answer it two ways. The first way is scientific, and I would say in the law of probability, you would think Andy Reid would have an advantage. But in terms of just true, honest, open, independent variables, it makes no difference. You know, Andy Reid could win 400 games and Vrabel's won five. All Vrabel has to win is one game, that one game. So I would say, to me, they don't carry over those wins. In other words, they don't say, okay, you're going to get 2.5 points for having all those wins, Andy. So it's an independent game, Sandy. And as long as the players can be mindful, not let their thoughts be consumed with last play or the next play and be present in the very play they're in, and everybody's doing that in terms of the coaching staff and the players, then it is truly an independent variable. I get what you're saying, but, you know, I like what's going on in Tennessee. Not only with RT and the offense, and let's not even talk about Derrick Henry, my brother from Alabama.
I know him well.
He's rolling, man. But that defense has a whole different mentality. And, you know, in Woodyard, there's some guys that have been around here that are part of that defense. But the mentality of Vrabel, you know, Vrabel was a kick butt linebacker. You know, he played and he was part of some championships. So he brings that authenticity to the defense. You know, one of the things that with defense is, Sandy, is we want to be around people who've been there and done it, you know, stuck somebody on fourth and one. And Vrabel's done that, and he brings that mentality to that Tennessee defense. So to answer your question, yeah, Andy's experience does matter, but it doesn't carry over into the game. Each game is an independent variable, and I like some of the other guys that haven't won as many games to really go on and win the big one this year.
Dr. Rick, I got to ask you about a person that you've crossed paths with. We just talked about the championship games this week, and I got to ask you about Antonio Brown that's been out of football this year.
Right.
What in the world is going on with this guy?
Yeah.
When things start dying out, all of a sudden he's dropping a music track, and then you're seeing the police being called this past weekend. What's really going on with this guy?
You know, we get back to Odell. Okay. He's an abstract thinker. You know, a lot of people, when they perform at their best, they're what we call concrete operational thinkers. I mean, they think in a linear fashion. And that really helps them because they process information quicker and more efficiently. But abstract thinkers are very creative, very innovative. And sometimes you'll see, people cross over industries, like Eddie Murphy's an actor, and then he cut a record, and, you know, people cross over into different industries. With Antonio, he's a very creative mind, abstract thinker, to the point that I would believe if he took the right assessment, he could be diagnosed as having some mood disorders, like bipolar disorder, things like that. But he is so creative and innovative, sometimes it's even too much it's to his detriment, if you will. So I just think if he has some good people around him, his agent, you know, his what I call his micro ecosystem, those are the people that are around him every day, you know, to stabilize him a bit, to like Odell has Jarvis, then he'll be fine. Because I love, he's talented and he's very emotional and he's very loyal, but yeah, he can get out of his lane sometimes.
It's going to be hard for his agent to be around him on a day-to-day basis. He has 160 clients in the NFL. We have the same agent. I'm here in Colorado.
Hey, real quick before we let you go. Baltimore loses the other day. One of its veterans comes out after the game and says, "We choked. That's our image now. That's how we think of ourselves. So we get to the playoffs, we choked the last 2 years." What's going on there? And how damaging is that? Because the worst thing you can call an athlete, much less a teammate, is a choker.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know who that was, but that's an inaccurate statement. That they didn't choke. They got beat out at the line of scrimmage. They got beat on the football field.
Sometimes you just lose the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he obviously bought into all the hype that they were supposed to beat everybody. You know, Tennessee didn't get the memo. So, you know, I got to really be honest and say some of these players don't understand the neck up, Sandy.
Yeah.
They really don't. And they'll make statements that are really irrelevant. They're irrelevant cues. So he just made a misstatement there. They just got beat on that day by a better football team. I'm not saying if they played 7 out of 7.
But on that
day, and that's the beautiful thing about football, it's one day, one game. It doesn't matter who the best team is. It matters who plays the best on that day.
Yeah, and Baltimore made a lot of mistakes. But
that's right.
Some of them were forced
on
them by Tennessee. And Tennessee's playing its game as anybody is playing its game.
Absolutely.
And football right now.
And that starts from the neck up, Sandy. Make no mistake about it.
They know who they are.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Rick Perea knows who he is. We appreciate him every time he's here in the studio with us. Doctor, thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
as
Doctor.
Always. Thanks, so, thanks, Sandy. I love being here with you guys. Appreciate it.
And we love you, too. And we'll come back and we'll talk about, Cortland Sutton becoming the first Bronco wide receiver, not Rod Smith. Who should have been.
Hanging out with Rod yesterday.
Yeah, you're hanging out with Rod yesterday. Yeah. Cortland Sutton becoming the first Bronco receiver to reach the Pro Bowl by his second season. So, good for him. Replaces DeAndre Hopkins to reach the Pro Bowl. So, a just reward, I think, for Cortland Sutton, who I thought this year was clearly the Broncos' offensive MVP. This is Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.